There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Boss Level, a podcast where we feature conversations with guests who have leveled up, bringing an XP boost to the table. This week, you're here with me, Psyche, and the incredible Milady Confetti. Hey, Confetti, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing good.
It's so nice to record with you again.
Yes, it's been too long.
It really has. I feel like there's so much space between each of the episodes where we get to record with each other and it's wild. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to you talking to Jess, talking about needing to play games together. When are we going to play Stardew Valley together?
Stardew Valley
needs to happen. Yes, there's multiplayer. We need to do it.
Oh, well then soon.
Hell yeah.
I didn't know that.
I would love that because I've been enjoying all of your like TikToks and stuff from your journey into Stardew Valley and the wildness that just seems to come out of it.
Yeah,
that's pretty on brand
for me.
So today's episode, we are joined by Da Purple Sharpie, also known as Sharpie, an American fighting game content creator, influencer, and show host. She is known for being the first woman to commentate EVO Online, organizing fighting game tournaments at Xanadu Games, and co-founding Combo Queens. Hi, Sharpie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, both of you. I really appreciate it. And that did a lot of justice to everything I've done. I feel like a more succinct version of everything that I do is I really like playing video games. And any way I'm able to integrate that, I'll literally like integrate that into my life. That's what I do.
That's awesome. I respect that completely. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. You know, I just came back from EVO. EVO was about a week and a half ago. It's the biggest mm-hmm. fighting game event inside of the world. And as you stated, I was the very first woman to ever commentate EVO online last year, which was the very first year that they had it. I was the only woman there. And this year I was one of the very first people to ever commentate Skullgirls Top 8 at EVO, which was at EVO for the very first time. So I'm really excited. It was really awesome. But I also, more specifically, got to host Multiverses, which is the number one fighting game in the world right now. So that was like a really big flex. My mom tuned in and everything. It was huge.
Can I say, I logged into TikTok, I think that was Friday or Saturday, and I saw you talking about your family pulling up and like you not reading the Twitch chat, which I'm glad, like, because when I was doing hosting, I didn't read Twitch chat at all, and I'm very glad I didn't do that. I went back for like, saw it for 1 second. I'm like, ooh, that's brutal in there. But then your whole family pulled up and was defending you in chat. I was like, that's fire.
They were taking names. One of my mom's cousins is like literally a drill instructor with a police academy in California. Like, he was trying to get people like taken down from the internet and stuff. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Y'all, these are random children on the internet. Like, they can't hurt me. I get paid regardless of what they say about me. You all, like, I just know that. I had to have a real conversation with her and be like, Mom, it's okay. This is not the first time it's happened to me. My sponsors will hire me regardless, as long as I don't engage with them. You can do whatever you want. Just, like, don't get me in trouble. Don't interrupt my bag. Like, but it was cute. It was real. It's just, like, it's a part of, I think a lot of people forget that gaming isn't just, like, white people inside of this space. It's not just men. It's not just people who identify as female either. And so when I get to the intersection of being like a queer, black, femme presenting person on the internet, there's not always positivity that's met here. And I have to like remind my family that even though they're not used to people speaking to me this way, that's how people treat me on the internet. Very frequently, especially people that don't know me. And they just needed to understand that and understand I was collecting the bag regardless, you know, and they were happy for me. Very, very happy. But I love the Multiverses community. Most of the people were sending me love and support. And that's all I ever focus on. I still don't read Twitch comments and can't nobody pay me to do that. So
to be fair, I respect that.
Yeah,
it's hard. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, if you're not what is seen as the default in the Twitch space or in the online content creation space, it's wild, the amount of toxicity. And especially if you're at an intersection between communities, it's like, it's got to be really tough. And it shouldn't be. And it shouldn't be that your family have to come to defend you. But I mean, amazing that you have that kind of support network. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. And to be fair, it helped that they knew I was getting paid a lot of money for the event. Like, this is the very first time they've ever seen me do this. Mm-hmm. And it was a big enough achievement. Like, Evo is the biggest fighting game event in the world. There are people who have never heard of fighting games and certain other games, but they've heard of Evo or they recognize certain aspects of Evo. So I felt like it was really an important milestone for me to bring my family into something that I haven't necessarily felt comfortable doing before that.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess let's get into character select and learn a little bit more about you. Could you maybe kind of give us an idea of the backstory behind your name, Da Purple Sharpie? Where did that come from?
I don't legally think I'm allowed to tell you.
Oh, okay.
I apologize about that, but I will say that suffice it to say I had a significantly different username that I don't feel comfortable discussing why it came about, but it did. And it was Sharpie, or some form of Sharpie. And then after a conversation that I had with a certain unknown brand that I will not mention for legal purposes here, I rebranded to something that was not as recognizable of an IP and much more of my own, not copywritten specifically. Okay. So funny story, though. Very funny story. Back in 2018, when I first started like getting a little bit more notarized inside of the fighting game community with Dragon Ball FighterZ coming out, I actually applied to Nestle Gaming's or Nestle Inc., which is the organization that like owns the IP of Sharpie, right? And I sent them this whole email and I was like, hey, here's who I am. Here are my stats. Here's my deck. You guys should sponsor me because I'm going to be huge one day. And they're like, in a really classic, just like huge corp way, they were like, we send out sponsorships. We don't respond to inquiries. Oh. Have a good time. Just so you know, we don't discriminate also, and have a good day. And I was like, okay. Very, very boilerplate legal for purposes like unknown. We have no clue who you are. We don't care who you are. And like, we're not sponsoring you. And I was like, dang, I'm going to make sure that they regret that. And they did.
Hell yeah.
Or I hope that they do. I hope that they understand how much like opportunities, how much money I could have made them if we were just aligned. But yeah, shout outs to actual brands that work with me.
For sure. It's crazy, though. Like, it's just wild to me because the fact that you got like such a boilerplate. And also, as soon as you hear that, like, we don't discriminate, you immediately are like,
yeah, that's code language for.
We absolutely
we have a, default type. And I think
really what they have certain sponsored players underneath them, most of which are underneath racing or things like skateboarding and snowboarding, like very, very big sports, not necessarily esports. Like they don't have a single esports player under them. It's almost all like new age sports, skating, you know, boating, rowing, things like that. And they all appear to be a certain way, right? But I think the language there was basically so that if someone did get denied, they couldn't be like, it's because I'm at an intersection, you know? But things like that give me fuel to like spite people even more, which I'm happy to say I have. Like, so now when you Google my name, like a lot of people will tag me on Twitter because I have the tag name of my display name is Sharpie. My tag is the purple Sharpie. So people will type in Sharpie and I'll actually come up first before Sharpie, which I'm sure got me a lot of hate during our previous administration being there for like Sharpie Gate, which I didn't really care that much about because I was able to sell those impressions to sponsors. But it was like, it was really funny because people be like, yeah, that's why those Republicans are doing this. I'm like, hey, what's up? I play esports. Why am I trending? You know, it's funny stuff like that. That happens to me because my name is so similar to other IPs.
That's really interesting. what's your favorite game on stream or off? Would you say that with content creation and the fact that you've kind of focused on fighting games, would like your favorite games be fighting games, or do you have other things that you enjoy playing as well?
I consider myself a gamer first and foremost. I believe I gained notoriety because I started competing specifically inside the fighting game Skullgirls. But prior to that, I was competing in Super Smash Brothers Melee. And a common misconception is that people think that I only like fighting games. The reality is I have competed in several different games besides fighting games. Okay. I competed at a collegiate level for League of Legends and a local level. I hosted events and large tournaments, which gave me the skills to run tournaments that I run today. But certain communities, especially competitive communities, are not always welcoming to people that happen to be of color. The fighting game community was birthed around arcades, specifically inside of inner cities, inside of the continental United States, and inside of Japan. And so a majority of people that attended these locations didn't have money for Commodores or Nintendos or a lot of gaming systems like Sega Genesis. So they went to arcades to play. And most of those people were people of color, specifically African-American communities. So a large demographic of people inside of the fighting game community, specifically the traditional fighting game community, are African-American. They do look like me. So the reason I'm well-known inside this community is, to be very frank, this is one of the only communities that didn't immediately look at me and you're like, you're Black. And that comes before everything else. Almost every other community I've ever been in, especially when it comes to gaming, has always treated me Black before anything else. Before I was even treated as a woman, before I was treated as queer, I was always treated as Black first. And that is a very hard thing to overcome when you are an age that is still in the process of growing into who you are. So the fighting game community was the very first time I felt like people were seeing me as a woman, as a queer individual, as someone that deserved to be here because of what they were putting into the community. So that's where I stayed. I stayed inside of the place where I felt welcome, where I didn't feel like I necessarily had to focus as hard as fighting to be seen. I still had to fight and to be seen inside this community. That's not something that just dissipated for me. It was just significantly easier for me to do that here than it was inside of the League of Legends community or even inside of the Super Smash Brothers Melee community.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that kind of being really, really valuable, having a community where you kind of feel like other aspects of you actually get to take the spotlight for once rather than it always being like one. I can understand that being kind of powerful, I guess.
It was a nice change. It was something that allowed me to be a lot more comfortable playing the game and focusing on what I wanted to do inside of gaming and focusing on the narrative that I wanted to tell. But also, it's one of those things where it's like, if you have a very big interest in competitive gaming, naturally, you're going to end up inside of one of these communities. And for a lot of people of color, especially African Americans, the fighting game community is usually the most welcoming just because it's the place where most competitive people aren't seen as toxic. They're not seen as loud and boisterous. They're not kicked out for being like too much, which is something that happened very frequently when I was competing inside of League of Legends, I would be seen as too much or incredibly toxic or too loud, or just like, especially if I wasn't considered attractive by someone, just being incredibly annoying. So that doesn't happen as much inside of the fighting game community as it did there.
Right. And I'm so sorry. I've been like picking your brain for the last, I don't know, like 10 or 15 minutes. Confetti, I'm so sorry.
I've just been listening and absorbing.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of the things like in my local area, like I hear a lot of the things that, you know, Sharpie is echoing, like how welcoming the fighting game community is. But, you know, that shifts when you change into, you know, a different type of video game. So that's mm-hmm. like very interesting that that's like, that is really like the universal feeling. Mm-hmm. And also I was reflecting, because my uncle and my mother, they're born in Philadelphia, but they would always talk about going to the arcade. And my uncle was very competitive. And then my mom kind of got into the competitive spirit. Yeah. But like the where they went to go was the this local arcade in West Philly. I don't believe is there anymore. But that is something that like that kind of brought like the community together, something positive to do, because, you know, growing up in Philly during the time that they were growing up is was really tough. So like that was kind of like their safe haven together, which was like really, really cool. You know, when you're surrounded by like all these things, because, you know, intersectionality is something that like I always talk about like here on Boss Level and also in gaming in general. Like, how do you manage, you know, maneuvering through those lanes constantly? Because I know that can be exhausting, because I know I have my experience, but like, what is your experience kind of managing those different lanes and always, you know, staying focused to what you gotta accomplish?
I come first every single time. I come first. And that's a recent conversation I had to start having with myself. I'm 31. Like, I recently turned 31 back in April. But a week before my birthday, I had a nervous breakdown because my content started blowing up like 2 years ago. And I just hadn't stopped for 2 years straight. Just about. M'lady, I know we did a shoot with Logitech a while back in February where we were both out there, and I was just like, I was running on empty that entire time, but it was never visible on my face. And I had been at 300% for like the last almost 720 days before that. So it was one of those things where it's like my body just literally came to a standstill, because it got to the point where it was like I was handling the wake of Black Lives Matter with George Floyd's murder. I was handling like the fighting game community starting to go through a cleansing and becoming more accepting in general. I was handling my game, Skullgirls, the game that I had spent several years focusing on, getting a spotlight and needing to be the face of a game that I didn't necessarily want to be the face of because I had a negative experience with a previous developer for the game. Like, it was a really hard time for me, and I had to shoulder all of that while also showing people that we are welcoming and we are friendly. And I don't think people truly understand how much weight that can put on someone like me. You know, I've never really complained about it. I try really hard not to complain because I know most people don't want to hear about these struggles. But the truth of the matter is that it was weighing on me in my personal life, especially since at that time I had been separated from my now fiance. So I was living by myself in the middle of quarantine. I wasn't able to talk to anybody. I was literally isolated from my friends and family while dealing with all of this hate online just because I was who I was. And it was very difficult to navigate because I always put community first before myself. So I'm at a point in time where now when I want to address something, I'm like, is this going to cause more stress to you than it would help somebody else? And if that answer is yes, I never do it. Doesn't matter if it would help the community. Doesn't matter if it would help like marginalized people. If it will hurt me, I do not do it, just because it's, I can't shoulder that pain anymore. I shouldered it literally for 20 years. I've been inside of the fighting game community since I was 19 years old, was when I hosted my very first tournament for Super Smash Brothers Melee. And I have been nonstop working to make sure the communities that I'm a part of have always felt like they are welcoming to people like me and other marginalized people that I may not necessarily be a part of. But it's one of those things where I had to stop and be like, is this something that I can actively continue to do and continue to support? So I've kind of changed. I apologize for like the long-winded answer on this, but to answer your question.
No, don't apologize.
No, really.
Managing intersection basically to me means understanding that I come first and understanding that my community comes second and then society comes third. If I'm able to assist my community before society, I will do that. If I'm able to assist society after I help myself and my community, I will do that. But I cannot continue to try to make societal changes when our world has not necessarily shown that they respect the work ethic of people like me, especially Black femmes. I cannot continue to do that. And so I've had to start saying no to opportunities that I don't feel like respect me or my community. And that's just how I navigate now. Previous to this, I would say I do anything that helps people like me. I don't do that anymore. That's just, y'all can call it spoiled. You can call it Hollywood. You can call it esports, whatever you want. I don't care, listener. I am doing it for me and I'm going to be here a real long time. So I have to be able to be stable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, you got to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's very real, especially like for, there's just, I've been doing a lot of like unpacking myself just as, you know, a Black person, queer person, you know, as a woman and like doing all these unpacking things. And like, I think like I began my metamorphosis. It was literally just like a tweet by a content creator that I follow, but it's just like, don't break yourself down into little pieces. If they can't take who you are as a whole, let them choke.
Yep.
And but like, yep. then I started reading bell hooks and then I started like, you know, like getting
yes!
more into, and I'm just like literally like Black women, we, I think there's something just within the Black community, especially as like Black femmes, like where we are kind of expected to shoulder everything and put the self all the way like to the back, like, you know, yes. And it's just like, enough is enough. I love a lot of the healing that has been happening in the Black community, especially for Black women. Just saying like, no, like I come for, I'm tired of this. Mm-hmm. I'm putting me first. And that's like in every space. That's in every career. Like I'll know, like, you know, be on, you know, a Black woman TikTok or, you know, Black women self-care TikTok. But like, honestly though, that work is really being done, you know, therapy and everything like that. So like, I don't know, well, if you're watching this on YouTube, but yeah, but for our listeners, like I was just sitting in the back, like shaking my head because it's just like, no, that's very real. Cause it's just like, you know, especially when like, I don't know, cause you know, we did do the thing in February, but like one thing I do like about Logitech or Astro is that like, they take us like as we are.
Yes, and
it's
they
just
do.
Like, you know, it's not like, oh, it's Black History Month, let me do something for you. Oh, it's Women's History Month, let me do something to you. They're just like, they take, I felt like they're like the brand first that like I've ever worked with. That's just like, no, we want you.
Yes.
You the person. Yes. And that felt like home for me. But it like, it took until this whole time to really realize that other aspect of that relationship. Cause I wasn't putting myself first. So like, I don't apologize because I feel everything that you're saying 100%.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying sitting and absorbing it all because I think it's really valuable to hear. Do you know what I mean? Like, as a person, obviously, I'm white, so, like, I don't have the same experience. I know, imagine! I had no idea! But no, so as a white queer woman, my experiences are not quite the same, obviously. But I have actually, like, seen on social media and stuff, there is this really weird obsession with especially people putting so much like burden upon Black women and expecting so much work from Black women. And it's baffling to me. And it's something I'm getting exposed to a lot more as I meet more people in the space. And you see all these people who are just being expected to do all of the work. And I'm like, why? How is that supposed to work? I don't understand. Like, I can only imagine what it feels like to be that person who's having those expectations placed on you because it's so much. And there's no one else who seems to be willing to like pull up and actually pull their weight. Do you know what I mean? Like the mads ain't mads in.
What I noticed was back in 2020 during the wake of, once again, the very infamous George mm-hmm. Floyd murder. A lot of people were trying to give voice to people like me, specifically Black femmes inside of the community, because they thought that we were supposed to be the voice every single time. And mm-hmm. I have no qualms about speaking about racial relations inside of the social economic situation and the social economic environment that is the United States of America, because I'm very well learned. I know my history. My parents, I guess I can say this because they're not considered a terrorist group anymore, but my parents were originally Black Panthers. And so they taught me about my history. They taught me about like African history. And my stepmother, who was Ethiopian, taught me a lot about Northern African history and a lot of the same things that happened inside of early chattel slavery because of Northern African slave trade. And so there's a lot of things that I know that standard gamers, even Black gamers inside this community, don't know. There's a lot of things that happen at a higher level inside of gaming in general that people just don't know come from extensions of societal issues that happen specifically because of race relations between African American and the United States government. And like, my whole thing has never been specifically to educate people about that. My whole thing has been, if someone asks me a question, I want to be able to help them understand why it is that way so that we can do better. But it should never exclusively be on me to do that. And I get frustrated because I've never built my platform to only be about Black rights or Black societal issues. But in 2020, everybody pushed that on me. And it's not something you can really put away after you take it out. That's why I wasn't actively publicly addressing all of these things. I would speak out when I felt like I needed to mobilize my community for certain issues. But it wasn't like I was only like, hey, here's a problem. Black. I believe in Black positivity. I believe in experiencing Black gaming and everywhere. People talking about, hey, my family came out to come see me in Twitch chat. People like Milady, you were like, I saw that and that was awesome. That reminded me how our families fight. Yes, that is something that happens that we need to be reminded of happening because not enough stories like that are shared. When my mom found out I was commentating Evo, the very first thing she said is, I'm gonna pull up in the auntie's chat and tell all your cousins. That's such a Black thing to do. That's such an old Black woman thing to do. She was like, I'm gonna tell the church, you're not gonna be cussing, right? I'm gonna tell the church. You know, like all of that stuff.
Wait, I gotta check in.
That's Black joy. Exactly. And that's what I wanted to build a platform showing, is that mm-hmm. exists. But back when there was only Black anger inside of the world, everyone was pushing me up to be like, how can we stop all of this Black anger? How can we do that? And that just feels very inauthentic to me, because when you're only mad about Black anger, you don't allow Black joy to be seen. You don't allow Black sadness to be seen. You don't allow Black confusion to be seen. You don't see all these multifaceted emotions that people who are Black experience. And you don't see any of the people who are at the intersection of Black and Caucasian, or Black and Hispanic, or Black and Latinx, or Black and Asian either, because you're only focusing on one thing. And I've never liked that. I've never appreciated that. I've always tried to remove myself from that. But when my voice needed to be heard, the unfortunate thing is that once you open that, you can't box it again, right?
Yeah.
So after people gave me a platform, I was like, well, what do you think about the Black experience in America? I went off. And that's just all it takes. I lost followers, I gained followers, but like, I don't care, because it's an aspect of who I am, but I can never mm-hmm. put that away. And I don't regret doing it. I literally do not. If I had been able to choose my own story, I would have done it significantly later inside of my career, when I was at a point where I felt as though my community was ready to have that conversation. I do not feel like the United States of America is ready to have that conversation around race right now. And I don't feel like the gaming community is in a place where my message ultimately got to the people who needed to hear it. In that regard, I am disappointed, and I do feel like I failed my community in some way, shape, or form, but I'm still going to move forward, because at the end of the day, I'm still here, I'm still Black, and I'm still queer, and no one's going to take that away from me.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. Where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Yeah, I think it's just very interesting because, like, you know, before 2020, like, my background is in higher education and a lot of people just didn't know that. And it wasn't like, if somebody asked like what I did, like, I'm just like, oh yeah, I work in higher education, but it wasn't something I always put out there. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I was working in residence life and I was also teaching. So, you know, when a lot of those things were happening and people were like, it, like, you're so educated on this topic. I'm like, yeah, this is my 9-to-5. Like, yeah, like,
it's what I do.
Yeah, the bookshelf that I have is like, those are things I read. I have to actively read for, you know, mm-hmm. my courses and my syllabi and stuff like that. So it's like, but yeah, like before that, like, it wasn't like I hid away from those things. It's like, once you open that in, then that's the expectation that's put on you. And I don't remember who the professor was, but on Twitter, she was like, I wish for the day where Black little girls can come on here and just be content creators and just be in their joy. And they don't have to be the leader of or the trailblazer of, they can just be here and post about dolls. Or it was like, you know, really like silly examples, but like that also matters too. Yeah, like, I want to come on here and post about some dolls, post about some Funkos, and not have to be the trailer or like, you know, the trailblazer of, like, you could just be, you know, the person that just do that and not have that expectation put on you or expected of you, because mm-hmm. that's the part that's annoying. It's like the expectation. It's like, mm-hmm. nah, I'm just here. I just want to play Stardew and watch the ratchetry unfold. Like, that's just what I want to see.
Like everybody should have the opportunity to see somebody like them doing just cool shit. Like, it should
happy.
Be. Yeah. Yes. Like, experiencing things in the games industry, experiencing things in gaming that is just fun for the sake of being fun every now and then.
Right.
Like, I feel like there's this horrible pressure for, obviously, especially Black women. It's the one time that I've seen it more than any other time, to be constantly, like, at the forefront of leading some kind of, like, statement about something or the fight for something. And it's, like, it's fair that y'all are tired. You know,
that's like, why, like, when Roe v. Wade came out, I saw many black women. I think, say, a majority of us be like, yeah, we're good here.
The only comment I made was that, hey, I'm not trying to get suspended on this website. So, like, y'all best be voting, which is what I've been saying for, like, literally the last 12 years of my life. And if you don't think voting matters, then you're ignoring the voice of the only thing that you have as a private citizen. If you think that there's another alternative that you would like to do, then do it. Then go off. But don't be over here telling people to, like, literally stop the system that got people out of chattel slavery. Like, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, don't. My ancestors, my great-grandmother, my grandmother, and my mother have all fought for the ability for my voice to be heard at a local level, to the point that, like, I feel like I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. When I was 16 years old, the high school that I went to was expanding their districts at a local level. Me being the civil-minded person that I am, that I grew up to be, that my parents have always taught me to be, went to the school board meeting that they had and the city council meeting, and I talked about why our school was a fantastic school that taught a lot of different, like, people, especially people inside of ESL, immigrant children. I talked about how I was a part of the orchestra, how I'd been learning several different languages, how I was inside the IB program, how I was, like, a B-plus average student, how I'd taken orchestra for, at that point, I think 14 years or so, because it was offered inside of my public schooling system, and how it was a fantastic school. I had these suburban moms who were Caucasian basically come to me, to my face, and immediately after me, and talk about how my school was ghetto, how my school had security detectors and metal detectors, all these things, how we had shootings and all these gangs and stuff, just because our school was more ethnically diverse than other schools inside of our county. And ultimately, the school board and city council listened to them because they could vote, because they had the ability to vote people into city council. That's why I'm such a big advocate for voting at a local level, especially a local level. If you only vote at a local level. I went to the YMCA after school. I was sponsored by the Intel Computer Clubhouse. We didn't have a computer in my house when I was growing up. I learned everything that I know about content today when I was going after school to the Intel Computer Clubhouse, where I then learned how to make music. I learned how to create a resume. I learned how to, I would do my homework there. I would work on content creation. I learned Photoshop and Premiere. These were things that would never have been afforded to me that I actively use today at the age of 31, because Intel was actively supporting our local YMCA at a local level. Those are things that do not exist if people do not vote at a local level for certain places to be around there, for people who don't even, and I live in an affluent neighborhood. I was considered a part of the 25% of people that were lower middle class or upper lower class that did not necessarily have enough money to be inside of all these after school programs. These are things that the local government provided for me that I was able to get to. And I don't think enough people understand that or care about it, especially when it comes to gaming. They don't understand that gaming is a resource to a lot of people inside of these neighborhoods that gives them the tools to get out of these neighborhoods, that gives them the tool to expand themselves. We are the main demographic that it could help. And the unfortunate aspect of it is that, like, we're not the people that it's affecting because of local laws, because of larger state laws, because of things that people are not voting at or doing at a local level. And that all starts with going out there, registering to vote, and being active at your local level. I was able to tell my local YMCA, hey, I can get people in with Logitech and get amazing pressure and things like that here, so that people can get funded, people can get scholarships, even if they may not necessarily be the best student because of their creative skills. That is something that now helps my local community. But, like, imagine if that had never happened because several people generations before me didn't vote to increase the funding of the communities inside of my local area. Like, that never, I never would be here. And I think more people need to be aware of that effect, because there are actual children who will never get to decide where they're born, where they grow up, and all they'll get is what they have then. It's up to us, adults, actual adults, people over the age of 18, to tell our local government, this is what we want for those children. Just point blank, period.
I think this is a super awesome conversation and I really want to continue it, but we have reached a save point. So we're going to take a super short ad break and I'm going to pick your brain some more because I'm enjoying sponging. I feel like I'm absorbing a lot of information and it's great. So let's take a super short break and we'll be back in a second.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more, with a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Welcome back from our ad. As we're still here with Sharpie, and you know, we're just having a really great conversation. It's just really flowing, and I absolutely love this. I want to talk about back about your career. What are some of your favorite moments from your career so far?
So I do want to just reiterate, my full-time job is in computer engineering. I work in IT. I'm technically help desk, but they pay me very well, so I actually don't care about like my title or anything. Like, if they give me 75 grand a year, like, I don't care what you call me. Call me tier one, whatever. If I get benefits, I'm cool. But inside of my gaming career, I think the important thing to note is that I have been streaming for now 12 years. I started back in 2010. And one of the things that I've noticed is I started streaming on Twitch. One of the things that I've noticed is how different the ecosystem has come for people like me who are just trying to be creative and trying to create a community, and how unfortunate it is that because we exist inside of a system where creation is now seen as commodifiable and not necessarily unique, voices like myself, unfortunately, sometimes go unheard. So I've always tried to create content that speaks to me specifically. So a lot of my content comes from my music background, because I played violin for, I guess, going on 22 years. I was professionally classically taught And I played for a very long time inside of school. So now a lot of my content inside of gaming, especially since I almost exclusively live on TikTok now, most of my content revolves around a musical look at video games and an interesting look on the day-to-day of competitive gaming. So I've always thought that TikTok has become a better resource for creators who are just looking to grow a community in general. Mm. But Twitch is still a really good resource for people trying to get paid. Like, really? It's really That's easy to make money on Twitch. At least for me, like I bring in subs like crazy. Subs are very easy for me to gain because I know how to be like entertaining because of my musical background and because of my performing background. But I've noticed that TikTok tends to reward people who are just consistently posting, which is really easy when you could post anything on there instead of like having to have the equipment to go live. So I guess my content background is I started on Twitch. I fell out of love with Twitch because I didn't feel as though they were respecting me as a creator, and they weren't respecting a lot of people that looked like me as creators. So I left Twitch, went over to TikTok, and now I just kind of live on TikTok and YouTube.
Yeah. It's very interesting perspective of Twitch, because I was talking to like a few people, and it's just like, as far as like the pay and stuff like that, because I know like that's been a trending topic. I mean, I muted Streamer Twitter like 3 months ago.
Don't blame me.
I have peace on Twitter. Let me tell you something. But yes, like, I know before I did that, it was a lot of it was talking about like the pay discrepancy. And like, I think that's when something had leaked and they were saying like, oh, everybody's going to go to the 50-50 split. And then like all the top white creators lost their mind. Yeah. I was like, oh, poor you. That's very interesting because I haven't like heard that perspective.
It's very well paying. That despite me being on the Twitch front page a total of 6 times this year, 11 times last year, and being verified on Twitter and having over 300 concurrent viewers while I was on the front page of the invited very first Black History Month activation that Twitch had, I am still not a Twitch partner. So I should say that first and foremost. And it's not, in fact, Twitch denied me partnership the day after Black History Month. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I have the email and I will send a screen cap to both of you. But it's like literally Women's Month started and they were like, actually, you didn't hit the goal.
Right.
Yeah, no. Hey, that's why I'm out of love with Twitch as a platform.
That's fair.
It's not for me. They were running ads on my, I got affiliate within 2 days of me literally getting affiliate. I literally got affiliate within 48 hours of that program being released publicly. I am somebody that Twitch actively profited off of. During Black History Month, I got an $840 payout. And I know for a fact, Twitch made over $2,000 off of my channel. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact. And so when people ask me why I'm not streaming on Twitch, why I'm not doing this, because they do not respect me as a creator. They have had multiple times to respect me as a creator. I am currently applying for partnership right now because times two. But it's like, why should I be over here fighting and shucking and jiving to get partnership just to get a little bit more pennies when there are other platforms who are begging for streamers like me? Who, when I inspire all these other streamers, when I am a technical-based person who learned how to do hardware inside of college, who went to school for this stuff, who creates an amazing experience with my high-tech software, why should I be fighting to stay on your platform? Because you're the only one here? No, honey. I'm sorry. I don't know who told you that, but I got a choice. And as long as I got a choice, I'm not staying here. So, like, that's my whole thing about my content journey, is realizing that I have worth, that just because my worth doesn't exist to a certain company, it does to others. And shout out to Logitech for always respecting my worth, even when I move to other platforms. Because if there's one thing they do, is give me a check. All right? Regardless, because they see how I activate my audience. They know what my audience is purchasing, and they know the metrics that are being used to measure my audience, and they like those metrics. They don't like the same metrics that like Ninja uses, because Ninja could have the exact same activation as me and actually get a lower click-through rate because he's not able to integrate his source material as easily as I am. And like, I think that's something people forget is that I am a creative and an artist first, right? I am a gamer after I create for sponsored material. And I can do that. I can create. I wish more people recognize that aspect of myself. But, you know, it's what happens inside this industry, right? It's capitalism.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And on that, we're gonna have to have a conversation with me after that. Because Oh my God.
Did you not know this?
Go ahead, Psyche. Go ahead.
I didn't know. Say, do you think it's changing? Do you think it's getting better? Do you think it's getting worse?
I don't think it'll ever get better as long as Amazon owns it. Amazon cares about one thing. Like, people have to understand, and this is no shade in any way, shape, or form to companies, but people have to understand, first and foremost, Twitch is a business.
Yeah.
Twitch is the number one streaming website on the internet. Mm-hmm. YouTube doesn't even beat it for live content. It is the number one streaming website on the internet, which is the reason why Amazon purchased it. The ads that everyone's getting now, everyone knew it was moving to that the minute Amazon purchased it. Twitch cleaned house. This is not news. This is not brand new. Everybody fighting for stuff now needs to understand it's been over. Amazon does not care. Amazon doesn't care. They have already spent money on these acquisitions. They don't care about retaining people. They already have the platform. Twitch is already a brand name. If I tell my uncle about Twitch, he'll know what it is. If I tell my nephew about Twitch, he'll know what it is. It's not about getting the brand name out there anymore like Mixer. They bought a product and that product will provide ads. The top like sponsors, large sponsors, PlayStation, Sony, like Microsoft will buy ads on Twitch. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who's streaming there or not. They will buy ads on that platform.
Yeah.
It's bigger than any streamer. I left because my voice was not valued by a small aspect of that company that I thought valued my voice. I left because competitive gaming, like Twitch, did not respect my voice. Gaming partnership Twitch did not respect my voice. So I left. That's just what it is. Now I occasionally come back because I want to. That's my choice. That is completely and totally my choice. But my main platform will be TikTok. And that's because I feel as though TikTok is working harder at respecting my voice than Twitch ever did. And that's just what it is. The hate raids that have been happening recently that everyone's complaining about, like as of a year and a half ago,
and
the
I'm very first time
I got hate raided in 2015 by 4chan. And my whole thing is, if it's still happening today, do you really think Twitch is dedicated to changing? Like, call me a fool once, but I ain't Bobo the fool twice. That's what I'm saying. That's how I feel about it. And so it's like when people tell me, can it change? Yeah, it can. Will it change? No. They have a business model that works. They have their stock options. They have their equity options. Amazon stock went up after they acquired Twitch. It'll continue to go up, even if Bezos isn't the head, because that is a company. And companies make profit. They're bigger than any one person.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I represent Logitech. You think if I don't represent Logitech tomorrow, the company's going to fail? No. It'll be fine regardless. It'll be fine regardless. Companies are not people. People are not companies. And I think something that we do inside the gaming community is creating a fallacy where we believe that one is the other.
Yes.
And that's not 100%. True. Stop coming for creators when you're mad at a company, right? I got mad at the company. And that's why I had to be quiet about being mad at the company, is because when you're mad at a company and you're somebody like me, it becomes an issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, it becomes a problem. And honestly, I wouldn't have shared that story if Twitch had just bought my silence by partnering me. It was very simple.
I mean, that's fair.
it was very simple.
I do feel like there's this really weird like obsession with, I certainly see it in like Twitch chat. I see it on Twitter all the time, where people for some reason seem to like put companies on a pedestal and treat them like they give a shit about you. Like, I'm sorry, but that, like, a lot of the time, now obviously there are definitely exceptions to that rule to an extent, but like a company is going to prioritize profit. That's just the way it is. And by giving them, like, you're kind of like anthropomorphizing them and giving them human qualities when they're a collection of people and the people at the top are geared towards money. That's just the way it is.
Yes.
And it's wild to me.
I don't mind it as much as I used to when I was younger, because I'm old enough to understand that companies are just a byproduct of the societal norms that we live in inside of Western culture today. which is, of course, capitalism, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel bad because every single conversation I have is like an Uno reverse card where it's like, when is Sharpie going to bring up capitalism? You know, like, when is Sharpie going to do that? And the realities of it is, it's not that capitalism is bad. It's really just that, like, I think people forget that capitalism is a relationship between people and companies, right? It's supply mm-hmm. and demand. And when you remove people's opportunity to interact with it, then it becomes a much more disgusting version of capitalism, mm-hmm. you know? So I would say that it's not even like this version of capitalism we're currently in. A lot of people say late stage capitalism all the time. Yeah. I like to say it's a byproduct of us not using our voices and being very content with what we're getting instead of understanding what we're giving up in the process. As yeah. someone that understands my history and someone that understands the possibilities of where we can go, it's really difficult for me to feel comfortable always giving up my voice, even if it means that things may be a little bit harder for me in the short run. But I can't do that anymore because I'm old and I'm tired and I got to protect my peace. So it's like, it's just, that's what too. I was doing throughout my 20s, was fighting for that change. When I realized a lot of people in my age group, especially inside of gaming, weren't as concerned about doing that, and seeing them get opportunities regardless, and seeing them stop fighting the man because they didn't really care about the man until it personally affected them, I was like, you know what? The system is really crazy because it promotes apathy.
Yes.
Mm.
It promotes apathy and
I'm
it
about
kind
to start
of
speaking in tongues.
it rewards people for being complacent. And yeah. ultimately, that's why I'm comfortable with a company like Logitech, which encourages me to be as loud as I want about topics that really ultimately matter to me and towards moving towards a more equitable future, which is what I feel mm-hmm. like Logitech's doing.
That's great.
Hashtag. I promise we should say, like, this podcast is not sponsored by Logitech.
It's not. Just me. Just
Sharpie,
me.
Wait, Sharpie, that happens every episode because I always bring up Logitech as an example for something. Look, and it's just like,
it's a good example.
Like, you have Blue Yeti microphone, A40 headset, yo, Logitech Aurora shirt, bro. Look, I am paid for, okay? I'm saying that, like, there are very few companies who will take a chance on somebody like me, mm-hmm. and seeing Intel, like, unofficially sponsor me from a young age just by providing for me at the YMCA, seeing Logitech do it for me now so I can continue to be a voice for emerging voices, especially Black femme voices inside of the gaming community, inside the competitive gaming community, that makes me happy. And I feel like that's worth shouting out. So yeah, ultimately, sure. I do feel as though you should be supporting, obviously, sponsors that allow for a fantastic femme-based podcast like this to occur and to have people like me on. But I would be lying if I didn't say to grab yourself a Logitech Brio, which is the webcam that I'm using right now. Okay. I'd be lying.
I'm very conscious that we're going to run out of time very soon. So I would really love to ask, Sharpie, do you have any upcoming projects that you'd like to shout out or things that you're going to be working on that you'd like to share and can share?
I do, and I can. Ooh. I can officially announce that I am exclusively a Multiverses content creator moving forward, meaning that I am directly working cool. with Warner Brother Games, as well as Player First Games, in order to help market the game. So I'm incredibly excited about that. You can follow me on TikTok.com/@DAPurpleSharpie. I am also on YouTube, and more importantly, I am on Instagram, DAPurpleSharpie, on literally all platforms. And if you enjoyed my voice, I do also have a podcast that I do with a trans femme by the name of Yehosi from the fighting game community, where we talk about trending topics inside the fighting game community and the gaming community in general, called FGC Cast, wherever you get your local podcasts, specifically on Spotify. So I really hope people will support us as we try to support others and amplify their voices inside of the specifically traditional fighting game community.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to both of us. It's been really great talking to you. And I'm just sad we don't have more time because this conversation was amazing. I really enjoyed it.
Oh my gosh. I'm really sorry. I wish I had literally infinite amount of time to talk to you both.
Totally understand. You got stuff to do. Totally understand. And Confetti, where can people find you?
I am Milady Confetti on all platforms. I don't have anything really special to announce, but yes, you can follow me on all of my platforms at Milady Confetti.
Sweet. And I am Psyche. I'm Psyche on Twitch and Psyche Plays on Twitter and pretty much all social media except for TikTok, because my name was taken and I was not smart about branding at all. And I am, the only thing I have to shout out is that I'm doing a very local talk on mental health in gaming next Thursday with a local charity organization that focuses on mental health and other kinds of health within gaming and gambling. So I will be doing that, and stay tuned on social media. If I can find a link for it, I will share it. But yeah, that was pretty much it from all of us. Thank you so much again, Sharpie, for taking the time to talk to us. Your side quest this week, everyone, is to catch us on social media at the Boss Level Pod. That is Boss LVL Pod. And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel for video episodes as well. You can find all the info for that on our social media. Thank you so much, everyone, for the support so far. We will see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.